We're going to be here in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 1 Corinthians, they won't stay here. We've got several scriptures we'll talk about. I'd like to read the whole chapter, but for sake of time, The church at Corinth has got some problems. They're a legitimate church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they've got problems in this church. So if you run up on a church that's got problems, that in itself does not prove that they're not a church of the Lord. For this church had multiple problems, and that's what Paul writes to straighten them out on, their problems. Say, did he get them all straightened out? Well, he might have, at least for the time being, but that doesn't mean those problems won't come back in, or different problems come back in. That's the way we are. We may be straight for a while, then something else comes back in. We let something else back in. So we don't want to get too harsh with everybody else. Well, I don't know why you did that. I don't do that. Well, you may not do that now, but you may do something else later. There's always something out there. So if I have a title to this, it would be Separate but Not Isolated. Separate, but not isolated. We used to hear about a doctrine of separation. You remember you used to hear, you don't hear that much anymore, but preachers used to talk about the doctrine of separation. Well, look at verse 11. No, let's go to verse 7. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong, but why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Now this is talking about brother against brother, brother against sister in the church. This is not talking about out in the world. Some preachers say, oh, it's a sin for a Christian to sue anybody. No, it's not. It is for a believer to sue a believer that's a member of the same church. That's what the Bible teaches. We're members of this church. That means we've all given an outward confession of faith that we have repented and believed the gospel of Jesus Christ unto the saving of our souls. We've given an outward confession of that, and we have been scripturally baptized by the church, and we've become a fellowshipping member of this body, one of another. Now, I believe Brother David was talking about loving one another this morning. Tremendous devotional there. I mean, the third chapter of 1 John, what do you expect? Great devotional. Great subject. Yes, by this, you know you're my disciples if you love one. But he's not talking about the whole world. He's talking about his disciples, talking about church members. Now, so he says that what we need to do, if I owe Joel some money and won't pay him, instead of gossiping about it, needs to bring it for the church. I'd like to say that Brother Gum owes me some money and won't pay it. Then we have a discussion about it as a church, not back in some closed office, but as an assembly, and we decide "Well, Brother Gum, you actually do owe this money." I said, "I didn't think I owed it." "Well, as we judge, you owe this money, and we direct you to pay it." And I say, "Yes, absolutely. Here, brother, here's your money. I'm sorry. Do you want me to pay interest or anything? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do this." The problem is over. But if I say, "I don't care what you say, I ain't paying you back," now I got many problems. Not only have I lied to him, I told him I'd pay him back when I borrowed the money. I lied to him, but I ain't paid him. You borrow money and don't pay it back, you're a liar. As well as a sneak thief, a cheat. Theft by deception. You borrow money with the purpose, with the understanding that you're going to pay it back. Now, if you run into a problem, talk about it. It's no big deal. We'll talk about it. We'll readjust our plans here. But eventually, it's got to be paid back. Or else you told a lie and you're a thief. That's what that is, isn't it? All right. But we bring it before the church. I listen to the church. We settle it. It's not a problem. Doesn't need to go any further. But when I say, "I don't care, I'm not paying him back," then my problem is you either get it straightened out or you're out of here. We're going to withdraw fellowship from you, because we can't have a church member like that. Well, I don't need to let this thing go. And then, now after they exclude me, he can go down and take me to small claims court. Because I owed him money and I wouldn't pay it. You've got a right as an American citizen to sue me. And then let a court of the land decide. Now, I'm giving you the scripture here. This is what is. Not what you've heard all your life. It's a sin for a Christian to sue somebody. No, that's a lie. That is not true. It's wrong to sue a brother in your church or sister in your church. But that doesn't mean you can't do something about the problem. The problem is you bring it before the church and the church decides, and then the one that's at fault won't listen, then he or she must be excluded from the congregation. Now you can sue him. Now you're not going to law before the unbelievers. You're going before, you got one that's acting like an unbeliever and been disciplined from the church. So, anyway, verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Well, is that true? Do we all believe that? I believe that. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And that chapter Brother Dave read this morning. He that is righteous does righteously. Amen. And if he does not do righteously, he ain't righteous. The proof's in the pudding. Well, now be not deceived. Why does he say that? Because there's a good chance of being deceived. He says that a lot. All right, now, fornicators, that's people that live in that. Nor idolaters. Nor adulterers. Nor effeminate. You see that dude, that wrench, you know, that wrist? He got 5 pounds of sugar in his loafers. That's effeminate. Well, he's not actually homosexual, he's just acting like that. He's effeminate. Man needs to act like a man, the woman needs to act like a woman. There ain't but two genders, male and female. And God didn't make a male to become a female or a female to become a male. And if somebody doesn't like it, they're going to have to lump it, because that's what God says. Amen. You got one running for governor of California. Used to be an Olympic athlete. Now it's ugly. if that ain't an ugly looking sight, you can't make a woman out of a man. Or a man out of a woman. You can't make either one of them. You're born what you are. I'll tell you one thing. You're born a man, a male, and you die and go to hell. I don't care how much stuff's been cut off of you. You're going to go to hell as a man throughout all eternity, and the same way with a woman. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's all about homosexuality there. Nor thieves. Nor covetous. Huh? Covetous. We didn't think that's very bad, did we? It's one of the top 10. I said this years ago, we excluded a man for covetousness one time. I've talked to lots of pastors, and I've never talked to another one that ever did. I haven't. Well, I conclude something off of that. Either there is no more covetousness out there, or else we've got so much of it, we don't recognize it when we see it. Well, which one you think's right there? I don't think it's because there's no more covetousness out there. I think it's worse now than ever. Anyway, you all wouldn't guess that my church discipline is not my subject. Nor drunkards. Well, what's a drunkard do? Blows his mind with alcohol. If you blow your mind with marijuana or drugs, ain't no difference. Nor revilers. A reviler is one that reviles with their mouth. Nor extortioners. You extortion somebody, you cheat money. You cheat them out of money. None of them going to inherit the kingdom of God. I believe that means what it says. It says what it means. Now, here's what it says to the Corinthians. And such were some of you. That means there have been homosexuals that have been straightened out. Doesn't it? He didn't specify. I think he included all of those sins. Such were some of you in this church at Corinth. Can people be saved out of those things? Of course it can be. Can they be straightened out and have their lives straightened out and they can serve, live a productive life for the Lord? Of course they can do it. That's what he says. Such were some of you. But you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? Let's see here. We've got meats for the belly. Now, all things are lawful unto me. All things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for their body. Now, that gives you the right format for serving the Lord. And God hath both raised up the Lord, will also raise up us by His own power. Now, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the church members of the Corinth Baptist Church. He says, you are the members of the body of Christ. Ain't no universal invisible body out there. He's talking about the body of Christ that assembled at Corinth. And this is the body of Christ that assembles out and Old Richmond Road.
Amen.
But he says, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid, or let it not so be. What? Know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? See what that is. I'm talking about that in Sunday school. If Samson did that. Take a child of God, joins himself to a harlot, he's become one with that harlot. Because you see, that's the ultimate consummation of a marriage. You can be joined together in your hearts before you're married, which is the way it ought to be. But ultimately, it's when those two come together as man and wife that that marriage is consummated. And from that time forward, they too shall be one flesh. That's pretty good stuff there. Now, so what is a child of God making a mockery of legitimate marriage between a godly man and a godly woman by him going and getting with a harlot, or her doing the same thing on the other way around? That's a travesty of marriage is what that is. Now, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. That's all kinds of sexual sin. Every sin that a man doeth was without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's the whole reason for your existence. And so, are we to be separate? Of course. Now look at, real quick, Psalm 1. Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Blessed is the man or the woman that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. We're separate from that. I don't think that a lost person out here can tell me how to live for the Lord. They don't know. I don't care how much education they've got, how much political power they've got. They can't tell us how to live for the Lord. Now, back in the New Testament, look at Ephesians. Chapter 5, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And then, back at 1 Corinthians 5, with all of the problems they had there, Paul tells them, verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Now he says it in other ways, but he says it right here. What does that word company mean? Assembly. Assembly. And the proof of that is the next verse. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or with the idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. The only way you could be totally separate from all of these sinners, you got to leave the world. Now, when you're in the company of the church, different story. We're not to company in the fellowship of the church with that. But you can't isolate yourself from all of that out here in this world. So, well, I don't like me at work. I mean, I see this and I see that. That's right, and it's going to keep on. I've worked a lot of places. I don't know about a whole lot, but I've been around a little bit. If I had tried to remove myself from the drunkards, I'd have had to jump overboard in the ship when I was aboard ship. I'd have had to been man overboard, wouldn't you, brother? Why, there's no way you're going to get away from them. Say, well, how can I live for the Lord and I got to live with a bunch of people like that? You got to find the way. Because we are separate. And we are to maintain our separateness. But somehow, we're not to become isolated. And that's what I'm trying to talk to you about. So, yet, verse 10, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world. Verse 11. Now I've written unto you not to keep company. That's church company. If any man that's called a brother be a fornicator, covetous, idolater, railer, drunk, and so on, extortioner, with such one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? I have no right to judge people on the outside of the church. I may be a fruit inspector. I may be aware of what they are. But I'm not their judge. People say, oh, I didn't know you was a preacher. How did you tell me you was a preacher? I wouldn't have been cussing like that. I missed that lots of times when I was working out like that. I said, I'm not your judge. You need to understand, God is your judge. And you can't hide what you're doing from God. I'm not the one you need to be concerned about. If you say you ought to show respect to me, that's all right. I appreciate that. But you know, I never did tell you I was a preacher. I don't go around telling people I'm a preacher when I'm in work clothes and all that. Oh, be careful. I'm a preacher. I never did that. I said, I didn't know you was a preacher. I said, well, let me ask you this. Have I done or said anything that would lead you to believe that I'm not a preacher? No. I said, there you go. I'm not your judge. Now, if you want me to preach to you, I'll preach to you. You want me to teach you Scripture? I'll try to teach you. But anyway, Paul says, I don't have anything to do with judging those people without. He said, do not you judge them that are within. Now, there's a different story. Within the church. But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Yeah, practice church discipline. And do it scripturally. Do it mercifully. But do it scripturally. But I can't exclude people on the outside. But I must not be joined with them. Now, how to effect that? Being separate, but not isolated. Big deal. You know, I had a lot of time. I had a lot of troubles early on with that. I really did. I wanted to go move on the island someplace or get back up in a holler. I had a place spotted up in Powell County. Oh, I loved it. You go back off, go back up there at Clay City or Stanford and all up in there. man. Go back on the road, off road, then you drive up this little old path way up there, and then you have to get out and walk way up there, a creek bed. And then there was a little A-frame house up there. That place was for sale. I wanted that so bad. I think I'll just get me some victuals and move up here. Nobody know where I was. And who would I witness to then? How would I influence anybody for good at all? I would have completely isolated myself from the world. And we all know that we're in the world, but not of the world. But we have to find how to live in the world without becoming part of the world. That's a big job. That's a big task. Well, now, let's see. I had John 15. Verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. That just gives us some understanding of what we're dealing with. And that is what we're dealing with. We got some of that. I thought this was kind of phenomenal. David brought that devotion. Here we are again on the same subject. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Well, we're in the Trail of Blood on Wednesday nights. We're beginning to talk about some of the extreme persecutions. We talked about Polycarp. Polycarp was loved by a lot of people, but he was hated by many more. And they finally killed him, but he never turned on the Lord. He never became one of them. The Novationist churches, those people under severe persecution, they denied the Lord. They excluded them from the church. And when the persecutions eased up, they tried to get back in. The Novation said, no, you've already proven who you were, but you are denied the Lord. That's between you and the Lord. So, I mean, I agree with them. Chapter 17 of John. Verse 18. As thou sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. The Lord has sent us into the world. He didn't save us out of this world. He saved us in this world. So, well, why am I still here? I don't know. I look at the obituaries and I say, man, I done lived 20 years longer than that one. I get in the crowd, and generally I'm one of the oldest, if not the oldest, I'm one of the oldest around. You can't believe anybody live that long. Why am I still here? I don't know. Maybe the Lord's got something for me to do. Do you reckon that's why you're here? If you're a child of God, why are you still? I mean, why didn't God just take me on to heaven when he saved me? Wouldn't that have been easy? There wouldn't have been no battle there, would there? The Lord saved me and took me right on home. Didn't do that. He left me here. Lord, look what I've had to face. And it ain't over with yet. I may have to face worse than what I've already faced. I've faced battles. I've not come near what these brethren did. But I've had to face battles. I've had to face rejection. I've had to face people hating me, wanting nothing to do with me. Didn't bother me. That's what the Lord left me here for. I'm in the world. So you don't ever do anything with us. Well, I can't. You don't do the right things. If you do the right things, I'll do the right. We'll do it with you. But you don't do the right things. That's all about on the fire department. Want me to come? Want me to come to a dive nightclub? I said, you want me to come and have fun? Yeah, just let your hair down and have fun. Just come, listen to the music. I said, I hate the music. Don't like that music. Well, you come have something to drink with. I don't drink. Come dance. I don't dance. Well, just sit and talk to us. I don't like what you talk about. You won't talk about what I want to talk about. So here I am. Probably paid to get in. Hate the music I'm hearing. Sitting there, not dancing. Everybody's dancing. They're drinking alcohol. I'm drinking a Coke. I don't like what they're talking about. They won't talk to me about what I want to talk about. And I'm supposed to be having fun. I can't have fun like that. I'm not going to join in with that. I'm going to be separate from that. But yet I don't want to be obnoxious enough that I can't ever talk to them. Where I want to be is if the Lord happens to move on one of them, I want to be there and say, Gum, I need to talk to you a minute in private. Did Nicodemus go to Jesus by night? He didn't want to do it in front of everybody. But you don't want to be so threatening that they could never come to you when they need to talk, when they need to hear something, when the Lord's done a work of grace in them. They need to be directed. They need to be taught Scripture. And they need to have confidence in you. Well, I know he's strict. He's not a part of us, but that I respect him for that. But I believe he can help me here. And go, and then you can minister the Word of God. And what better deal is there for a child of God in the world, yet not of the world? And that's where we want to be, folks. Separated, but not isolated. We want to be separate from the world in our looks. We don't want to dress like the world. I mean, it's pretty bad out there, folks. It really is. In our speech, we don't want to sound like the world. In our actions, in church discipline, marriage, you don't want to marry out of the Lord. You want to marry in the Lord. In all your relationships, we're not to be joined together. Second Corinthians is what I want. I think so. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together. You know what a yoke is. Any of you kids know what a yoke is? You know what a yoke is? It's a great big piece of wood, heavy duty wood. It's got a couple of U things on them. An old team of oxen. You put that over the head of one ox and put that U thing under his throat, and then you do the other one, and there's one piece of wood holding those two animals together. You got a big ring, iron ring on top of it, and you hook the traces to that, And then you use that team of oxen to pull a wagon or pull a plow or whatever. But see what that does. That team of oxen got to be able to work together. Because you can't have one pulling and the other standing. That ain't going to work. They've got to work together and they've got to pull together. And that's why in the Old Testament, it said it was a law. Thou shalt not plow an ox and an ass together. Can you imagine what a mess you would have to put a donkey on one side and an oxen on the other side? I believe the oxen would do it, but I believe the donkey would, I believe you'd take the studs. I believe you'd balk. And you'd never get your field plowed. So he says to us, be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. A believer is not to be yoked together with an unbeliever. That doesn't say that you're better than they are. It says that you're different than they are. We are believers and they're unbelievers. Well, now here I don't believe it's just talking about marriage. I believe it is. I think it's the first and foremost relationship you'll have after your parent-child relationship. The biggest relationship you'll have in this life is who you get married to. But he says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I think that's even in a partnership, a business, or whatever. I'll tell you what, when I first surrendered to preach, I was still on the fire department. Didn't stay there long, but I was working on the days off with the guy. He said he was saved, but he didn't act like it. I quit working with him. I wanted to start working early in the morning, get her work done. He wanted to fool around, mess around all day, then work in the afternoon. Then here I got Wednesday night prayer service. I got visitation. I got things I've got to do. I finally, I said, we got to split up. I can't do this. He got mad at me. Yeah, because I was carrying him pretty much. But no, I can't do that. I'm yoked together with at least one that's acting like an unbeliever. I can't do this. But he said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Those are opposites. And what communion hath light with darkness? Well, you can't have light and darkness together. One cancels out the other. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? That's Satan. Concord is agreement. Christ doesn't agree with Satan. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And that literally is apistos, unbeliever. And what agreement hath the temple of God with the idols? We got no business with idols in the house of God. For you all are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You ought to mark all that in your Bible. Be ye separate. He didn't say be isolated. He said be separate. Now, I appreciate some things about the Amish and some of the more extreme Mennonites. There's lots of things I appreciate about them. Some of their doctrine, some of them are fairly sound, especially on the doctrines of grace. But do you know where they all have missed the boat? They're isolated. They're not separated. They have become a spectacle. And they do not have a testimony, a witness with anybody that's not with them, and they don't want one. But not what the Lord left us here for. And I'm not bad now. I'm putting them down. They missed the boat there, though. They're absolutely wrong on all that. Well, we must not go to extremes with our separation that we become isolationists. Be careful that. Look at this. Real quick, Matthew 19. I want to get on this too. Matthew 19. Y'all may not believe, but I'm actually seeing better. I got a new pair of reading glasses. And they're the best ones I've had so far. So you don't have to give me no more. They've been given to me for a while. Matthew 19. I've got so much junk in my... All right, here we're about there. Matthew 19. Verse 13. Then were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer, allow, permit, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. My. I know when we get old and cranky, believe me, I'm there. That's why God gives children to young people. What if we didn't have children until we got old? It wouldn't be no, especially wouldn't be no fun for the children. But we need children. The Lord says they're an heritage from God. And blessed is a man whose quiver is full of those God-sent arrows. Generally, the problem is not with young children of themselves. It's parents not knowing or not caring how to raise them, discipline them. There's where the problem generally is. But anyway, I better hurry. Ephesians 6, real quick. Verse 4, he says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now that ain't old cranky grandpa. That's father. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Daddy's got some things to learn. He's got to get rid of all of his bachelorhood. When he gets a wife and then a child, children, he's got to get rid of this. Well, I'm going to do my thing, and this is my money, and I'm going to... He's got to get rid of all that. Especially before the Lord. Because you got a job with your own children, and somebody's got to work with children in the Lord's church. I'm thankful we've got some children now. And we've got to be careful with them. We've got to raise them. We've got to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Then I was going to do Luke 6, and I'll quit. It's about time. Luke 6. verse 31, "And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise." That would go down as like the golden rule. "For if you love them which love you, what thank have you?" You love people that love you. Everybody does that, or pretty much. He says, "For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you?" I mean, what does God have to thank you for? You're doing good to those that do good to you. You love them that love you. There's nothing different. That's what everybody does. "For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good, and lend hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. But be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." Well, "Judge not and you shall not be judged." That doesn't say that I can't say, "Well, that fella has no business doing what he's doing. I recognize what he's doing is evil. Robbing a bank, or snot-slinging drunk, or high on drugs." That doesn't mean you can't determine that stuff. I can't judge his heart. "Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven." I can't condemn anybody. I'm not the one that says, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." That's God Almighty that does that. Quit trying to take his work away from him. Now I'll say this. Unless I'm absolutely starving to death, I'm probably not going to go through a garbage can to look for something to eat. I say that's a pretty safe bet, that Brother Gunn's not going to be digging through a garbage can, especially not my own, looking for something to eat. Now, who was it sent us on a diet and they threw a chocolate cake away because they didn't want to eat it? Because it's on a diet, and then got up in the middle of the night and went digging in the garbage can and pulled that cake out and ate some of it. I forget who told me about that, but I heard about that. I'm not going to be going through a garbage can. I might say my own, maybe, because I know what to put in there. But I ain't going to go through anybody else's garbage can. But the point I'm saying is, there might be some good food in there, but I'm not going to wade through all that garbage to get to some good food. And that's the way you've got to know who's where. Now, so I see a bar or a dive joint, I know right off that ain't where I want to go. Is it because I'm better than those people? No, I'm different from those people. I've got to be separate from all of that. And I don't want to be in amongst all that. However, I'd like them to know, if they ever want to talk to me about the Lord, I'm open. I'm ready to receive them, to talk to them about that. I don't want to be isolated. I want to be separate, but I don't want to be isolated. God help us to know the difference. Let's stand.